Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, and welcome to the NXT 2.0. Oh, Halloween Havoc preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture's look ahead to NXT 2.0 and Halloween Havoc this evening. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review NXT 2.0, but also Raw, SmackDown, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett. No Michael Sidgwick, who is still putting the finishing touches to his new AEW book, which you can pre-order right now at whatculture.bigcartel.com. But Hamflett, it's Halloween Havoc tonight, and could this be the best Halloween Havoc ever?
I mean, that might be a reach, but it does. This does feel like a bit of a spooky story version of our NXT review, because we have come to this Halloween edition dressed as actual previewers, haven't we? Like, this does, for a change, and for the first time really in 2.0's short and frantic history, this episode doesn't require silliness. It doesn't require the stuff that we, let's be honest, has become one of the favorite parts of our week, titting around, because they've sort of accidentally booked a wrestling show. Feels strange.
Yeah, it's a great card with some matches that are kind of hard to call because of the changing status of NXT 2.0. We'll get to the huge NXT Championship match between, well, NXT's present and NXT's future is probably the nicest way of putting it. Tommaso Ciampa and Braun Breaker. But let's start with the Stairway to Hell ladder match. It's for the NXT Women's Tag Team Championships. Io Shirai and Zoe Stark defending against Toxic Attraction and Indi Hartwell and Persia Perotta. It's going to be heart and mouth stuff, this. A, because Io Shirai does bonkers stuff like putting a bin on her head and jumping off stuff just as part of her day-to-day work. But also, the triple threat that set this up, that got the right to spin the wheel, involved a pretty horrific-looking botch by JC Jane.
Yeah. Is this like WWE unintentionally false advertising this match? Because how can this be any scarier than that 50% version of it with less weapons? Like, last week's terrifying. Like, that was the diluted version of this. So, Christ knows what they got planned. Right, like, in all seriousness here, like, we'll try and keep this a genuinely analytical preview here. What we talked about last week with the botch, wasn't making light of it, making fun of it, none of that stuff.
No.
What we talked about was that a lot of these people are being put in positions or being asked to do things or being suggested maybe to do things that they shouldn't be doing because they're a danger to themselves and others. Wrestlers should be, you extenuate the positives, you hide the negatives, and you do what you're capable of safely because it's people's bodies at the end of the day. And that wasn't on display last week on this quasi-developmental show that NXT 2.0 is now. And yet we're back in the days of late 2019 and everybody's in a terrifying ladder match. Look, it's, you would like to think that the if there's going to be anything massive, it's going to be one of the gimmick ladders that we see a bit more of now. You know, when bodies go through it, it's pre-cut and all that kind of thing. But there's probably going to be big bumps. Certainly the implication that there has to be something incredibly dangerous. But we did get danger from the non-danger match last week. So it's funny that you mentioned Io Shirai in the bin. I would love it in this match. You know, they're still fighting for these titles, and they've got to go 2.0 and get something. And I would love it. I would love it if this went down a more comedic route than a last year's Stairway to Hell, which was awesome, but that was between Candice LeRae and Io Shirai.
Yes.
Those are two people that I absolutely trust in a very dangerous weapons match for a prestigious title. It would probably be wiser if this skewed fun. Io Shirai wears a pumpkin on her head instead of a bin. does a dive with that or something. Or you lean into the gimmickry of it, the Halloween side of it. Look, they did a great job with the spooky stuff last year. You kind of feel like that they're going to... This is like Bruce Pritchard's... The happiest I've heard Bruce Pritchard on Conrad's podcast since he was rehired by WWE, and he always just sounds tired and miserable being back under Vince's thumb again. The happiest I've heard him speak is when he spoke recently on a podcast where they reviewed Buried Alive 1996 in your house, and he was just talking about shooting at the graveyard with Mankind in the rain. He loves this bollocks, man. He loves it. You know, he does goo on Raw, so Halloween Havoc should be right up his street. So let this veer into the comedy section rather than something that belongs on a video nasty, and let's have them all get out in one piece, especially because whether you're doing a title change, we would presume if the titles are going to change hands, they're going to go to Toxic Attraction, because you're maybe going to potentially get a big visual. But if they're not, they're going to stay with the champions, especially because either way, even in the event of that tag title change, this doesn't feel that big. It's got a lot of people in it because it doesn't feel that big. It's got stipulation on it because it doesn't feel that big. The tag belts don't feel that important. The tag championship reign of Shirai and Starks had to take place over this transitional period. So the feuds between them's only half-baked now. The stakes aren't that high. Let's not make the risks that way either.
Who would you think is going to leave with the tag titles then?
I will say the champions retain. Shirai does something. Shirai, the one that can be trusted to do something wild, does something wild.
Yeah, I am going to not say that, just to keep it interesting. I think we are going to get a big visual with Toxic Attraction holding all the gold by the end of this evening. And, well, spoiler alert, a new era in NXT, which may give you clues where I may head with some of the other matches. And let's talk about that NXT Women's Championship match alongside that. It is, of course, Spin the Wheel, Make the Deal. Any guesses as to what type of matches it's going to be and who leaves as NXT Women's Champion?
I have to be totally honest with you. I haven't spent long enough staring at this year's wheel to even take a punt on what this might be. I don't know if we've got... I know there was the wheel appeared last week, didn't it? So we could get Stairway to Hell, but I haven't seen what else is on that wheel. And they have been known to change it too. Have you got them there?
Got a tweet. Hang on. Hold the thought there, caller. Ah, oh, bollocks, is from last year.
It wasn't even our wheel.
Right. Well, I'll just use last year's for the time being. And then whilst we're discussing, I'll see if I can find it. Boiler Room Brawl. Well, they won't be doing that. Shotzi's Choice, which I assume would become LA Knight's Choice. Cheers, Tuds. Weapons that. Wild Match. Trickle Street Fight. What else have we got here? What's that? Glove on a coal miner's glove on a pole. Blindfold match, casket match, biker chain match, buried alive match. You get the idea.
Buried alive. There's my answer. Buried alive. And let me tell you why. Because they can. It's Halloween, so they can easily do a, and we've got a grave right here. But who's been digging the grave, Wilborn? Dakota Kai's been digging a grave, hasn't she? He's been digging Raquel Gonzalez's grave. It's a way for Mandy Rose to beat Raquel Gonzalez without needing to get pinned. They're fighting over by the grave. Dakota Kai's Raquel Gonzalez got her up, ready to do the one-arm choke slam into the grave, and then Dakota Kai appears with a shovel, wraps it across the back of Raquel Gonzalez. She tumbles into the grave. Toxic Attraction come out with a few more shovels, fill it up with dirt. Raquel Gonzalez is buried, new champion, and Dakota Kai is reinvented as the Undertaker, I guess. Ready for Diesel, a takeover that's never going to happen.
I love that. Yeah, I think it's time to reveal what we all seem to have already worked out, the fact that Dakota Kai is the person with the weird voice in the graveyard. What a hell of a way. That would be a great way to set all this up.
Yeah. And we've done it. We've done it again.
For the dirty pervs, if they do a Buried Alive match, maybe they go outside and maybe it's raining so they can, you know, Mandy Rose. It, we all know what they're really doing there. Come on, guys. Let's not dance around the fact here.
That's That thumbnail's got like 6 million views the next day. Like every NXT match, 20,000, 20K.
Let's stick with the final spin the wheel, make the deal match. That's for the tag team titles, MSK versus Imperium. My God, do I pray that MSK retain here.
Yes, I quite enjoyed Imperium last week. They had a hard job on their hands. They kind of had to play a babyface in the match against the Creed brothers, and then they were back as heels when MSK came out. There was a strange Cody Rhodes-esque response to MSK in the 2.0 Dome, which still hasn't got a name, so let's just call it that for now. Yeah, they were like they had that dreaded mixed response, so I hope that's kind of going to be addressed this week. This, to me, feels like the trick or street fight sort of thing. This is where if you absolutely just want to have some fun with weapons, you do it here. It sort of dresses up the any drab elements you're going to get of Imperium on Heat because it can play as a bit of a tornado match. MSK can do some fun stuff, a bit of spooky stuff, and then MSK retain.
Yeah, I've got to suggest that it's got to be an MSK retention for me here. And yeah, I don't see any storyline going forward that has Imperium as the tag champs on this weird, colourful 2.0 brand. It just does not work, does it? Yeah. I like the trick or street fright for this as well, because let them brawl all over the place and let MSK jump off everything, basically, isn't it?
That's it, yeah. Like, use the environment, have some fun with it. It avoids the need for, like, any portion of the match. Because the thing is, this is a match-heavy show. This is going to be very unlike the 2.0s we reviewed so far, where you've got these two-minute squashes. This is, I guess, the closest 2.0 we'll get to a takeover, isn't it? You've got 2 hours with four or five big matches. This is way going to mirror more the format of a takeover than episode of 2.0. So the worry is that the MSK match becomes drab because Imperium get 5 minutes of heat. Just have it be a brawl around the ring instead. You just cut that out.
Mm, indeed. Yeah. So that's what? Two title changes and a retention so far. Is that what we're going with before we get to the main event?
Yes. Yes, I like that.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Before we get there, actually, let's talk about something I'm arguably looking forward to more than half the title matches on this show, and that is a champion going after his championship, not in the way you might think. Carmelo Hayes is your NXT North American champion, but he's lost the belt because it was stolen from him by Johnny Gargano and his son-in-law, Dexter Lumis, and they've invited Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams to a haunted house. Oh my God, this is exciting, Michael Hamflett.
Yeah. So last year, we weren't let down by the visuals of Dexter Lumis, the zombie referee this year, like Cameron Grimes going in the house and just being grabbed up by people. And this year, because WWE have completed the pandemic, they don't even need to deal with restrictions. You can just go as wild as you like. I want them to lean in to whoever was the creative director or whoever had the instincts. Do you remember the... God, this feels like a distant memory. Do you remember the Dinner with the Garganos period? I remember that era, right? I want like an even more haunted version of that. So you've got like Dexter and Johnny sat down to eat dinner together. But because everything's spooky, it's all Halloween themed food. You know, like remember the cup that Johnny kept in the glass box? Like, that's still there, but there's now a ghost dick and balls inside it. They've got, like, hologram technology to have Gargano's cack, like, just sort of floating above the table. And then right next to that is the belt in a box of its own. And all they've got to do is reclaim the belt and get the hell out of there. But then all of a sudden, a door slams or something like that, you know, and then suddenly Dexter Loomis is just staring at them. And then they swing a punch, but it wasn't Dexter. It wasn't even my Dexter. It was just a ghost, something like that. And Gargano and Loomis. Like, the end of all of this ends, right, as all the sort of the cartoon horror-y type things do, with Hayes and Trick just running for their lives down a curved path that looks like what leads to like a haunted house. And the Gargano family, Dexter, Indy, Candice there, heavily pregnant, just waving, saying, come back soon. Like an Adam, like they don't realize that they're the weird ones. Like, oh, what's the problem? I don't know. I guess they just don't like the nighttime. That's not the way. And then they all go back in and like, it turns out that we were the real freaks.
I love it. I have no notes. I don't think that can be improved upon. I know we're not playing games predicting a lot of the stuff that's going to happen tonight like we usually do, but yeah, I can't think of things much better than that.
It doesn't really count, does it? Like, tonight, I like the Trick Williams, Carmelo Hayes, Gargano, Loomis stuff in general. I think it's a good combination, and you get Carmelo Hayes and Johnny Gargano with the actual title match, but this is a bit of a free hit week, isn't it? It's not going to be massively canon next week, is it? Like, Vic Joseph's not like, and after we saw what happened in the haunted house, it's not going to be high on the agenda in 2 weeks' time.
I do like the idea because there's two of them. It just works so much better, isn't it? That Carmelo Hayes is just, I've got my shades on. I'm really cool as a cucumber, me. And Trick Williams is there, like, yeah, we bowed it. And he goes to say we bowed it about it. And then Dexter Lewis just comes out of the wall and snatches him up and Carmelo Hayes is suddenly on his own. I just think there's so much potential here. And like you say, with what they managed to achieve last year, divisive as it was, I think they're gonna, yeah, Johnny Gargano is very much. He's done his art, he's getting his money now, and he's going to take the piss whilst he does it. So I sense that this is going to be more of that sort of thing. And just another string to Dexter Loomis's bow, which yet again, I'm astonished that a year ago I was there, like, what is this? And yet here we are now. And maybe that'll be tied into, I'll tell you what, there's Pat there as well. What was Kevin Graves doing the other week? He was getting into Tinder. Well, he's been told to meet this girl of his, and it's only at the haunted house, isn't it? And he stumbles in there, and he's like, oh, bloody hell, not this again. I just think there's...
Depending on where they put this in the card, could the girl that Cameron Grimes meets end up being Persia Perotta? have the women wrestle first or something, then she gets there in time. She wants to make it back for tea at the Ways house. And Cameron Grimes has just turned up for a date, completely oblivious. Just around address.
We'll stick with the spooky stuff before we get to that main event, because we've got LA Knight hosting, which is almost guaranteeing great things to happen, but also a special guest you may have seen all over NXT's social media over the last few days. Chucky is due to make some kind of appearance. What do you think special guest Chucky will do? I've already seen a photo of Ikemen Jiro holding a Chucky toy up, and I don't know whether that's his personal one or the start of a story where Ikemen Jiro gets murdered.
How are we going to differentiate Chucky from the rest of the NXT roster when he is a forced character with someone's hand up his arse? Are we going to know that's Chucky or anybody else? That's what I want to know. Like, I don't know. Yeah, jacket stuff with... Like, they're going to do what was once deemed to be like a low ebb. This is how far things have gone in this direction. What was once deemed an all-time low ebb in wrestling history, when a certain main eventer's dad was made to look foolish by this puppet. Tonight, this puppet's going to go over about six wrestlers. If not, like, in the ring, he's going to, like... just decimate them in promos, isn't he? That's going to be the whole deal, and LA Knight's going to be the biggest victim of the lot. He's going to be there. He's going to do his full weird Rock Miz hybrid thing where he's going to have the sharpest suit that he can get, and he's going to... It's going to be like a... do you know what I think it's going to be? Do you know what I think LA Knight's suit's going to be tonight? Glossy velour David Pumpkins. So like a little bit cheesy, but the intent is to be flash, and he doesn't realise that it comes across as tacky. And in the end, Chucky's going to scare him into the path. Let's say Jiro, actually, because he's going to have a nice Halloween jacket as well, but into the path of a babyface who makes a fool of LA Knight and pushes his face into where the apples are bobbing, and he gets his jacket wet. I said this to you last week, and I was the outlier, because you were both a bit like, LA Knight is host, this is going to be awesome. And I was like, LA Knight, I think they've given up on him. So I'm kind of the one year of little faith when it comes to LA Knight at this point. I don't think he's it for them now. So I don't think he can touch what Shotzi Blackheart did in that role last year. She committed to the bit last year.
Yes, it is going to be two very different types of hosting. I do like the idea of the Bride of Chucky maybe being there and LA Knight speaking to her and then going, cheers, doll, at the end of it all.
It's good. I like that.
But my pitch is, yes, having murdered the lower card people, maybe Andre Chase gets his jumper caught and he can't get away from Chucky, and Nikominjiro, like you say, says, oh, I've got this new jacket. And Chucky says, oh, it looked a bit better with a bit of red on it. Stabs him up or something. Right. But there's only one character he can't get the better of, who ends up sending Chucky to sleep with the fishers. There's Tony D'Angelo, baby.
I was just going to say, as you were talking about Chucky literally murdering half of the undercard, Chucky is just working his way through some mid-carder, stabbing them to death. And then he turns around and he's like, you only see Chucky's face. You say, you didn't see nothing. Camera turns around. I didn't see nothing. And then he just walks out. The perfect person to catch him the act is Tony D'Angelo. It's a little bit of the tap. Like little Chucky's puppet hand produces $100 bill. And Tony D'Angelo just takes it.
Guess I'm gonna have to forget about it.
There we go.
Right, let's conclude by talking about that epic main event.
That's ridiculous. Like, anyway, from Chucky, we move to the biggest and best thing NXT's done so far in this era.
Tommaso Ciampa, Bron Breakker, NXT Championship on the line. Is tonight, Michael Hamflett, the day that Bron Breakker becomes NXT Champion?
Straight faces. Come on, let's all do our best right now, because I don't know. Genuinely, I think this build legitimately impressive. They absolutely could go with Bron Breakker. The way in which he has leveled up to what felt initially like just the most bizarre of pushes. He was one of several names that we didn't know existed on NXT 2.0's night one. And then they just decided that he would be the guy. He would be this guy that gets this shot that feels a level above your Von Wagner's and your Tony D'Angelo's and your Toxic Attractions and all these acts that we're supposed to have known for like 5 years or something. He's the one that we were led to receive as being the biggest and the best of the lot. And they've achieved it.
Yeah,
this is the seventh, maybe eighth week of this show. So this is, and let's say it's 8 weeks. I actually think it might be less, but let's say this is 8 weeks. This is like an 8 week rocket strapper. You don't get this level of commitment on Raw or SmackDown to a guy's push. It doesn't feel, I'm not going to make the Brock Lesnar 2002 comparison, but I can't draw off the top of my head of a time where they've just gone with a guy to such an extent and it feel wholly like zero to hero. It's Karrion Kross doesn't even count as this, because he came in with a bit of buzz and with a bit of press with some video packages. Bron Breakker, for all we knew, did not exist. And then 2.0 happens and it's like, oh, by the way, Rick Steiner's son's here and he's jacked. What? Okay, right, fine. Well, I guess that's what's happening now then. And they've done it, like a legitimate achievement that we're even questioning that he could do this, and he very well might. They might want to kick off the era now, formally, like this. Whatever we've seen for the last 6-7 weeks was the beginning of the genesis of McGillicuddy, and now is the start proper with Bron Breakker. Or alternatively, Ciampa gets it done. He creeps over the line as champion. He continues to help establish this new version of NXT, and Breakker has this near miss and it's his first setback, and he's got to just drop down ever so slightly and find himself a little bit, and he gets another shot at Ciampa down the road, and he beats him the second time around, or Ciampa beats him and then Breaker turns, and we get the nasty edge of Breaker coming out. Like, what we've seen bubbling under that he's just presented as jock frat energy is now manifesting as a very nasty person that takes his anger out on all the smaller guys and has a rematch with Ciampa down the road where he wins second time because he's found his focus and he's found his fire. So, so tough to call. On the spot, I say the crown Bron Breakker tonight as a babyface champion.
I agree. I said at the beginning, I think this is going to be a sea change for NXT and WWE tonight. I think we're going to get new tag champs, new female world champion with that Toxic Attraction visual holding all the gold. And I think they're going to put the title on Bron Breakker. I've got no idea what happens to Tommaso Ciampa apart from probably making everyone look good on the way out in 2 minute squashes or something. But I think this is it. I think this is going to be one of those moments in time where they're going to turn around and say, look, this was the night that everything changed for NXT 2.0. And this was, you know, the sea change that we've hinted about. And, you know, it looked different. And now it visually looks different when you look at who's got the championships as well. I think it's going to happen. I think it's like you say, though, whatever happens, fascinating to see what they do with this, whether you turn Bron Breakker heel, like you say, whether he, you know, sort of mimics the bloody Hangman Page storyline, the crisis of confidence or whatever you want to call that. I don't know, but I will not be able to take my eyes off this. I can't wait for Halloween Havoc tonight. Let us know your thoughts ahead of the show on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch that. You can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. You can hear our Raw review. It's available right now. And a bit of a heads up in terms of our review of Halloween Havoc. Tomorrow is a full day of filming. Everyone at What Culture back in for something very special that's going to be coming your way across all of our channels over the coming weeks. As a result of that, our review of Halloween Havoc will be delayed till Thursday. But then you get that and the Dynamite review on the same day, you lucky bastards. And we'll be previewing Dynamite tomorrow because we're recording that this afternoon. So make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling to get that in your feed whenever it comes out. But for now, this has been the Halloween Havoc NXT 2.0 preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.